And if Christ invited his apostles to be fishers of men, what to say then about an episode at sea last spring? You might remember seeing a snapshot in your newspaper or the image on your television screen of a fishing trawler towing a net. But instead of carrying fish, 27 migrants were hanging on for their lives. They'd been abandoned by people traffickers when their wooden boat began to sink. But the trawler's captain refused to take them on board. They might have spoiled his catch of fish. They were finally rescued by the Italian Navy. This disturbing story was just one of many such real-life tragedies discussed at a recent forum on migration and development organized by Caritas Europa. I spoke to the Brussels-based head of the Migrants Office, Peter Verhager, who told me he was excited about the prospect of international Caritas partners being able to coordinate their activities more effectively and help change the course of such ships of despair into ones of hope.
We had a very good representation of all regions worldwide except Oceania, which gave very good input to the forum, which opened the discussion and the typical European discussion we have on migration and immigration to the European Union. Because so many people working in migration in Europe have discovered that we do not only have immigration to the European Union, but there's a lot more going on with the same problems and the same debate in other regions of the world. This brought us to a good understanding why we should work together not only on the European level but worldwide, on the global level, within the Caritas Federation and with partner organizations on both issues of development and migration. And that both can reinforce each other if actions in both fields are well coordinated.
The focus of this particular forum was on development, that is, finding ways to make life easier for people in their own country so they don't feel pressured into feeling the need that they have to leave their country and go somewhere else to live.
Yes, well, that was one of the two main aspects. And so the one aspect is, well, Caritas organizations combat poverty, which includes, of course, development projects, but also poverty of migrants who were forced to migrate and who live in deplorable conditions and working conditions, exploitation, victims of trafficking, and so on, elsewhere in the world. In fact, development workers and migration experts so that they're basically working on exactly the same problem, the same challenges of combating poverty. We do not want to prevent migration because we see that that's proven by all kinds of studies as well and reports that migration contributes to the development of the countries who invite migrants. And I say invite because that's exactly how the contribution of migrants to as well the countries of destination as their countries of origin can be promoted. Because if migrants are welcome and have rights in the countries where they come to, they can more easily contribute to the development of the society they live in and as well as their society and communities of origin.
Recently, I went to a soup kitchen here in Rome run by a Catholic lay association. I was really surprised to learn that most of the people that they receive every day, besides the elderly, retired people, for example, who live in Rome and so on, but they also receive a big number of Eastern Europeans. And the woman who was showing me around said, you know, just a few years ago, before Europe widened its borders, that they were seeing a lot more Africans and Asians. But now the focus is on Eastern Europeans. Does this mean that we're not seeing the influx anymore of the Africans and Asians?
Well, I must say that the landscape has changed indeed because in the first place, since the early 90s, we have seen a considerable drop of number of asylum seekers, so people seeking international protection in the European Union, although the last 6 months figures of UNHCR show an increase again of the trend, mainly because of an increase of asylum applications from people from Iraq. But concerning migration, we have indeed seen an increase of labor migration from mainly Eastern European countries. For example, there are considerable communities of Ukrainian workers in Portugal, in Italy as well, Moldova, and other non-EU member states, but bordering states. The same in Ireland, for example, which is currently has an economic growth and which needs labor migrants and which also invites labor migrants actively, so which has an active recruitment policy. As I said, discussion was how can we reduce poverty or combat poverty to avoid that people are forced to migrate, to leave their country, not only for political reasons, but also to survive. What one of the participants said from Senegal, for example, that many people leaving Senegal or from Senegal or through Senegal can maybe not be considered as refugees in the sense of the UN Convention, but they do leave their country to survive. So not to have a better life, but just merely to survive. So this puts pressure, of course, on us and on policymakers to prevent that people are forced to migrate in huge numbers. One of the conclusions at the forum was that as development people work on poverty reduction and the migration people try to alleviate the poverty situation of migrants here in Europe, that the Millennium Development Goals, for example, are a crucial element. We know the enthusiasm worldwide has a bit reduced, and everybody is thinking that we cannot achieve them by 2015 as foreseen. But we do think that everybody stay committed to it, and together with civil society and Caritas organizations, there is a possibility still to reach the Millennium Development Goals. There is, however, not a direct link between increased development in a country and the reduction of immigration from that country. And there are another set of elements play a role, like, okay, you have more access to education, for example, which is one of the Millennium Development Goals. So more people have the opportunity to study and also higher education. But if you have no jobs for these people, they will continue to leave the country. Or if you don't have decent jobs for these people in their own country, they will also leave the region, especially because there is a need on the labor market elsewhere. The European Union, the Middle East, North America, and other regions where highly skilled people are needed and are to be recruited from other regions because they're not available on the local labor market. So there is, on the one hand, the situation in the countries of origin, and on the other hand, the situation in well, let's say, regions of destination where there is an increasing need on the labor market.
So what are the other conclusions then of this forum? What did the participants say that they'd like to see the policymakers do?
So it is clear that a comprehensive or holistic or however you want to call it, but most of all participatory approach is needed to undertake all aspects of the phenomenon. Patrick Torrent, for example, who of the International Labour Organization, said it very clearly that such an approach must be founded upon the human values embodied in international human rights and labour standards, and only these standards, on a legal basis, in the international instruments, provide for accountability to the human dignity, development, and social welfare that Caritas promotes for all people. So, which means that you need these international instruments, and they need to be applied as well. And countries have to be made accountable for their acts. For example, a participant from Sri Lanka mentioned that a country like Sri Lanka has signed and ratified almost all international instruments, but it remains a paper commitment. So that's one of the things we have to work on, and which puts a pressure on us, of course, to increase our advocacy work at the international level for a more global respect for the international agreed instruments.
Peter Verhage is head of the Migrants Office of Caritas Europa.